glad for those that are joining us online and over at our Westside campus. And we are in the fourth week of our series called What's in a Name? And all of us here, we know names are important. They provide identity, which makes me wonder what some parents were thinking when they named their kids. And we've been looking at that. In fact, every week I promise a little exercise called I'm Glad My Name's Not. And the names keep pouring in. In fact, last week, one of our folks shared this story. They said, when I worked in an ER in St. Louis, we had a regular patient whose name was Ima June. And they said, this is a true story. Wanted us to know that. She married a man whose last name was Bug. And so she became Ima June Bug. How'd you like that? True story there. Well, if that one wasn't good enough for you, how would you like it if your name was Russell Sprout? Think any kids at school could make fun of that? Or if you don't like that one, how would you like the name Dan Druff? I don't know about you, but I heard he was a little flaky, right? Okay. Or how about this one? This poor kid's name is Owen Money. This poor kid. I said poor kid, yeah. Or just be glad your name's not Dwayne Pipe. That would be something a lot of people would have fun with. Well, in the series, we're actually taking a look at some of the many different names of God that we find in the Bible. And each one of these names is significant because they help us to better understand who God is and how he interacts with us. And while my proper name is Brian Myers, I can also be identified by a lot of other descriptive names, such as dad, father, son, grandpa, uncle, brother, friend, and pastor. And that's also true of God. God is known by many of the names that actually describe him and who he is and how he interacts. And God's proper name would probably be called Jehovah, but he's also known by many other names that describe him. And so we've been working through those. We started with Jehovah Nisi, which means the Lord our banner who provides victory. And then we took a look at the name Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord our provider. And ultimately, he's provided a way for us to be with him in eternity forever. Last week, Pastor Dave did a great job taking a look at the Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Well, today we're going to take a look at the name Jehovah Ra'ah, which means the Lord our shepherd. And the Hebrew word Ra'ah literally means shepherd, and it describes one who leads and feeds and tends and protects his flock of sheep. And just as a shepherd cares for his flock, so Jehovah Ra'ah cares for his people, providing for their needs while guiding and protecting them. Now, I think it is kind of interesting that when God selected an animal to represent us, he landed on a sheep. And it's not a very flattering designation, as you might know, but I think we need a shepherd because we act a lot like sheep. That's just the way we act. We don't always do the smartest things, and we sometimes really need a lot of guidance. And just to give an example of the sheep thing, I've shown this clip before, but every time I see it, it makes me laugh. It's how sheep are and how often we are. Go ahead and watch. I mean, you don't even need any sound with that. We have took that out. And I'm sorry, I tend to resemble that sheep. It's clear that sheep need more supervision than almost any other animal on the planet. And left to themselves, they will eat too much. They'll wander off. They'll go astray. They'll get scared. They'll jump right back into the same rut. Now, frankly, there's a lot of other animals that I would rather be compared to. Like those that are, you know, become mascots for sports teams. I'd like eagles or falcons or sharks or bears or tigers or wolverines or mustangs, something that's strong and brave and fierce. Sheep, not so much. Sheep, on the other hand, they become mascots for mattress companies. Have you noticed that? And they're not fierce and they're not smart. And they're known for wandering into places where they shouldn't be and needing to be rescued. But understanding God as our shepherd actually makes you a sheep. And that means we are always and entirely dependent on our shepherd, whether we realize it or not. And here's what you need to understand. If you don't recognize yourself as a sheep, then you're probably not going to recognize your need for God to be your shepherd. And there is good reason why we need a shepherd. Now, almost anyone who has spent any time in church is going to be familiar with the place in the Bible where we learn the name of God, Jehovah Raha, the Lord our shepherd. Is there anyone here, even at our Westside campus, who would care to guess where that might be in the scripture, the Lord our shepherd? Yes, I hear it, 23rd Psalm, one of the most beloved passages of scripture from the book of Psalms, the 23rd Psalm, written by King David. And we're going to read that. If you have your Bible, you want to follow along, or your device, but we're going to read it from the latest New International Version. And here's what it says: "The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Ra'ah. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And those inspirational words literally have helped and healed and encouraged and inspired untold numbers of people who, when they applied those powerful thoughts to their specific situation, experience God as their shepherd. And it can make a huge difference. Some years ago, a man was so distraught with some of the things that had happened in his life that he began to become very anxious and very tense, to the point that he finally felt like he needed to go to see his pastor. And his pastor, after talking with him, told him that if he was having a physical problem, his doctor would offer some kind of physical treatment. But since he was dealing with something that was a spiritual issue, his pastor was going to encourage really a different kind of treatment. And so he told the man, "Here's what I want you to do for the next week. You need to prayerfully and carefully read Psalm 23 5 times a day. Once in the morning when you get up, before each meal, and then at night before you go to bed." And so the man did it, and when he returned a week later, he was literally a different person, totally all of a sudden at peace, because his shepherd had been caring for him. Now, in case you might be wondering where David, who wrote this psalm, where he came up with the shepherd metaphor, that's pretty easy, because all it's a matter of is it takes one to know one. At one point in his life, David had been a shepherd. And we read that in 1 Samuel chapter 14, 16, where Samuel was going to anoint someone to be king. He got to Jesse's house and went through all of the older siblings. And then Samuel asked Jesse, because they were all rejected, "Are these all the sons you have?" And he said, "They're still the youngest." They didn't even think enough of him to bring him in, but he is out tending the sheep, because David grew up as a shepherd. And it was also this shepherd's perspective that probably helped make him a great leader of God's people. And we read about that in Psalm chapter 78, verses 70 and 71, where it says that God chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. Now, I think if we're not careful, it could be possible that when we read through Psalm 23, that we may get a little bit of the wrong idea about what it looks like having God as your shepherd, that somehow it equates to a life of perpetual bliss. I mean, after all, I think the description sounds pretty blissful. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. But then you got to recognize that David's life was anything but a perpetual state of bliss. I mean, he faced one challenge after another, literally faced. We can go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and when David was talking to King Saul before he went out to fight Goliath, it gave him a little description of what his life was like as a shepherd. He said, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went and after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it." Sound like anything you faced recently? Probably not, but don't want to. And then after he was literally anointed king, and before he became king, it only got worse, because then King Saul became jealous and wanted to actually kill him. And so David had to be on the run for his life. And eventually he did become king over the nation of Israel. But we would all know how leading a nation would be anything but blissful. And so I think we need to be clear about what knowing God as your shepherd doesn't mean. Let's make sure we're clear about that so we don't get the wrong idea. And so first of all, I just say it doesn't mean that there won't be any obstacles that you're going to have to overcome. There are going to be times in your life when you're going to face obstacles. It doesn't mean that there won't be any difficulties to defeat in your life, that you're going to have some challenges that are going to come on you, and they're going to be challenging. It doesn't mean that there won't be any conflicts to conquer in your life. And let me just remind you, as we go into the New Testament, Jesus never painted a picture of anyone being his follower and experiencing only a life of ease and free of trouble. In fact, these were Jesus' exact words to his followers in John chapter 16. He just said, "You know what? In this world, you're going to have some trouble." Anybody remember that old song, "I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden"? And while there are certainly some roses along the way, this world could hardly be described as a rose garden. In fact, I was just thinking this last year, some of the headlines that we have heard about from Russia's invasion of Ukraine and all the disruption that that has led to double-digit inflation that Taylor talked about. I mean, COVID's presence is still pervasive, along with this surge of RSV, and we have infants that are filling NICUs. And then there were the hurricanes that devastated Florida and the East Coast. And it seems like one mass shooting after another, even one recently a few weeks ago in Colorado Springs. And because we're so much like sheep, when we hear things like that and they're put together, we can have sometimes a tendency to panic, unless we know our shepherd is with us. Because when our shepherd is with us, it changes everything. In fact, I believe when God is your shepherd, his truth actually supersedes what's true in your life. Now think about that for a moment. When God is your shepherd, his truth supersedes what's true in your life. What does that mean? Well, I think what it means is that God is greater than anything we might be going through. And that's exactly why the Apostle Paul, who I believe knew God as his shepherd, was able to write in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. He said, you know, we're hard-pressed on every side. Life's difficult. But because God's our shepherd, we're not crushed. We're perplexed. We're so wondering about what's going on. But because God is our shepherd, we don't live with despair. We're being persecuted. Some people are being executed, being thrown in jail. But because God is our shepherd, we know we're not abandoned. We're being struck down, but literally, because God is our shepherd, we're not being destroyed. How could Paul make those statements? Because he understood that the Lord was his shepherd, and as long as God's in it, the story's not finished. Which is why I wanted to remind you today, your faith in God, it means everything, or it literally means nothing. Now, I think one of the verses I found in the Bible that can be the most encouraging or the most frustrating verse in the Bible happens to be Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And you know maybe what that verse says. It says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose." And you know when it's an encouraging verse? Is when you've been through some challenge in your life and you got to the other side and you saw how God had a plan and he put things together and you said, "Yes, I've seen that." You know when it's kind of a discouraging verse? When you're sitting in the middle of that challenge and somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, you know, God's going to work that for good." And you're like, "I don't see how. I don't understand how this could ever work out. See, it does say that God works together for all things. And I just want to share with you one of those for me. I'm going to have a hard time forgetting that fateful Sunday morning. It began literally like any other Sunday morning when I left the house about 5:45 to come to the church, and at home all was quiet and peaceful. And then oddly enough, all through that Sunday morning, I never saw Diane at church, and she's always here. And so I started to wonder what might have been keeping her away. Was she not feeling well that morning? Was she dealing with, we had a person living with us, maybe they were having a challenge and she was helping them. But when I finally left and went home, I began to get a picture of maybe what had happened when I pulled up in front of our house and noticed several shop vacs on the front porch. A sure sign to me that there had been some kind of water abatement situation in our house. And sure enough, sometime between 5:45 and 7 a.m., a water line on our upstairs bathroom toilet failed, and hundreds of gallons of water ran from our second-story bathroom down through our kitchen and into our basement. It was not the way I was wanting Sunday to go at all. And I remember at the end of that day, going to bed that night, in a house where the thermostat was set at 80 degrees because they wanted to have it start drying things out, and the noise of more than a dozen big fans blowing, and a completely destroyed kitchen, I remember feeling a little bit overwhelmed and a little bit discouraged. And it didn't go away very quickly at all. In fact, if you know anything about these kind of projects, the restoration lasted over 3 months. And so I wasn't very good then, but you know, today I'm on the other side. And we actually have a wonderfully remodeled kitchen now as a result of that. But see, it's just extremely hard when we're in the thick of it to trust that God's got this. But that's why we need to know him as our shepherd. I think I've shared with you before, but a while back I came across a book. It's called The Land Between. And I would just share it with you if you're kind of stuck in a time right now. It's written by Jeff Mannion. And it's called Finding God in the Transitions. And he talks about these transitions we find ourselves in. And they're when we really need a shepherd. And he calls the land between the hard place in transition. And here's what he writes. He says, and for many of us, the journey into the land between comes suddenly, with a conversation that drops into our life like an exploding bomb. Your position has been eliminated. I don't love you anymore. The tumor is malignant. Mom, Dad, I'm pregnant. I'm having second thoughts about our marriage. Dad, I'm at the police station. Your mother and I are getting a divorce. We're moving. How soon can you get to the hospital? We think Mom's had a stroke. And in a sentence, we're ripped from normality and find ourselves in a new world as if thrown from a moving train. We tumble into the world of the unemployed, or we're hurled into the land of suddenly single, or the valley of grieving, or the new vocabulary of chemotherapy, or the weekly routine of nursing home visits. And in our more confident, faith-filled moments, he writes, we know that we will regain our footing and find some balance in a normal life. But for now, we're simply and suddenly between and at a loss for how to navigate the terrain. And that's exactly when we need the shepherd the most. And so I want us to take a look today at knowing God as your shepherd, what it does mean. And I want to remind you that it doesn't make everything better on the outside, but there is something when God is our shepherd that happens on the inside. Your shepherd is able to help you find a place of respite, maybe in a moment of solitude with him where he refreshes your soul. See, David, knowing God as his shepherd, did not remove all the problems that he had to face, as evidenced really in many of the other psalms written by David and recorded for us in the Bible. And it's why, for me, one of the most helpful spiritual disciplines I've ever had is just to continually read through the Psalms. And I come across these Psalms where David allowed God to be his shepherd, and it changed his perspective. And so let's take a look. Here's what David demonstrates is possible when God is your shepherd. Number one, makes possible finding joy in the midst of heartache. When you're hurting and you're going through a difficult time in life, sometimes it just seems heavy. There doesn't seem to be any joy. And recently I came across Psalm 13 and started to read through it. And I see where David was struggling with a heavy heart. In verse 2, we actually read these words. He says, "How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart?" And so he's continuing to share that sorrow. But then he gets to verse 6 and notice what he says. "No, okay, you're my shepherd, so I trust in your unfailing love. My heart actually finds joy. It rejoices in your salvation. I will sing praise to the Lord, for he has been good to me." You should really notice two things there, because God was David's shepherd. He knew that no matter what he had to go through, he had something to go to. And he remembered and was grateful for God's goodness to him. See, because God is your shepherd, God's truth is greater than what's true about your life. Well, not only did knowing God as the good shepherd mean finding joy in the midst of heartache, it also meant experiencing calm in the midst of chaos in his life. Do you like chaos in your life? I don't like it very much. And I got to share this. Do you know what I miss the most about the COVID crisis time? Because it's hard to really find very much to miss about that. I don't miss wearing a mask at all. But you know what I miss the most? Traffic. Did you notice that? It's amazing, because there really wasn't any. And I think some of you know, I can be a bit of an impatient driver. And back in the day, when I would leave the church out here and have to pull onto Montezuma, from Montezuma onto Voyager, I never had to wait for any cars. There was just none coming. But today, you know what happens? I pull out and I've got to wait sometimes for a dozen, two dozen cars to go by. Anymore, when I think of traffic, I think of chaos in Colorado Springs. But you know, it was way worse for David when we talk about chaos. In Psalm 27, in spite of chaos, David experiences calm. Here's what he writes in verses 1-3. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And then he identifies whom he shall be afraid. He goes on to say, "When the wicked advanced against me to devour me, it is my enemies, my foes, who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident." Even an army. And you can hear the calm amid the chaos in his voice. And it wasn't because David was just trying to think positive. It was the calm because he was experiencing God's shepherding presence in his life. Well, not only was there calm amid the chaos, but he also experienced a feeling of hope in the face of discouragement. And some of you may be a little bit discouraged here today. And when you're talking about discouragement, all you have to do is find Psalm 42. And there in verses 3 and 5, you hear the discouragement in David's heart. He says, "My tears have been my food day and night." He's been so discouraged. And then people were rubbing it in and they're saying, "Hey, you're a God follower. Where is your God?" And that's when he reminds himself where his God is, because he gets to verse 5 and he says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God." He found his hope in God. "For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Folks, your faith in God means everything or it means nothing. And so I'm wondering today, which one of these three things are you needing the most from your shepherd today? Is it some joy in the midst of heartache that you're going through? Is it some calm in the midst of your chaotic life? Is it some hope in the face of some very discouraging circumstances? There have been so many times when I have reached out to God to be my shepherd, and he shepherded my heart and my mind, I found in the way he did David in the Psalms. And that's been when I've met him in the Psalms, and he did the same for me. Most recently, Psalm 42 and Psalm 13 in my life. And it makes an incredible difference when I actually there remember how little control I have over my life, but how much control God does when I allow him to be the shepherd of my life. So let me ask you today, each one of us has someone or something that we are following. What is it in your life? Because, you know, there are far too many things that people choose or allow to shepherd their lives. Sometimes it's money. Sometimes it's possessions. Sometimes it's relationships with others. Sometimes it's our health or other world philosophies. And the Bible is clear, sadly, that we've all been guilty of letting other things shepherd because, as the songwriter said, we are prone to wander. And Isaiah actually touches on that. In Isaiah 53, it actually says, we all like sheep. We've gone astray. Each of us, we've turned to our own way. And when that happens, the question becomes, well, would the shepherd even want us back? To which the answer is a solid yes, because that verse goes on to say, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. God made it possible for us to be in a restored relationship with him because of Christ. And because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, you can decide to choose God to be your shepherd. In fact, that's what the Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. It says, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. I'm wondering if some of you need to do that today. You need to return to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And so all of this begs the question, who or what is your shepherd? Today, who or what is your shepherd? Now, I realize you got all the blanks filled in, so I'm going to let you put your sheet away and then listen just a little bit more. Because I want to remind you before we close that claiming the Lord as your shepherd, it's going to implicate really some significant things about the orientation of your life. Like, who do you go to for guidance and direction? And you will know when the Lord is truly your shepherd when you begin to do two very significant things. Number one, you listen to his voice. You listen to his voice. Jesus even said, he said, I'm the good shepherd. And he says, my sheep hear my voice. And let me remind you, one of the very best places to hear his voice is in his word. That's why reading the scripture is so important. He'll also prompt you by his spirit. And so you got to listen to his voice. Secondly, you'll let him lead you. You'll actually follow where he leads. One of the most challenging things in life can be doing what we know God wants us to do rather than maybe what we want to do or what we think is the best thing for us to do. It's knowing, doing what God wants us to do. And that's really why the five most important words in the 23rd Psalm are the first five words. The Lord is my shepherd. I've made him my shepherd. And you have to decide who or what is going to guide your life. Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to let lead you? I know I want God as my shepherd. And so almost every morning I have a little statement that I remind myself of, and I just want to share it with you today. And I say to God, I say, God, my calling is to follow you as my shepherd and to walk relationally with you today and then follow your promptings and your guidance. My calling is to follow you as my shepherd and walk relationally with you today and follow your promptings and your guidance. And I believe that when you and I do that, your shepherd will make you lie down in green pastures. He will lead you beside quiet waters. He will refresh your soul. And even though you walk through the darkest valley, you won't have to fear evil because he will be with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being our shepherd. We really do sometimes look and act a lot like sheep. So help us to be able to entrust ourselves to you. And if there's anyone here today, Father, who's never made you their shepherd, pray that you would draw them to yourself. Help them to know how much they love you and that you love them and want them to be in relationship with you. Thank you as our shepherd. We get to experience your goodness. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.